Clint Richardson, are you there, sir?
I am indeed.
Well, how art thou?
Shorter of breath and one day closer to death.
So that's what you've been doing with your time off, listening to Pink Floyd.
That's right.
I heard you, as a matter of fact, I very rarely have the opportunity to listen to talk show hosts in their entire shows. And I discovered two things. You were on Deanna Spingola's program, and outside of my little area, I get charged for data. So I was listening to the network instead of through the call-in lines. I went directly to the website and listened live, and I was charged data time. But it was worth it. It was very interesting, the exchange that you had with Deanna. On the two, and this is what stood out about that interview, is we got one tribe in this country that says that the Constitution and the forefathers and all this stuff, they were just commercial type wranglers, and they knew exactly what they were doing and how they set up the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and all that other stuff. Now, the other camp says that, wait a minute, we did have a Constitution at one time, and that's been subverted through commercial law. What's your viewpoint on this? Because I want to get your take on this, Mr. Richardson, because this is important. People have a tendency to get these things confused. Are we a republic? Are we a democracy? Are we a transformed republic into this democracy? Or have they been running two parallel governments?
Well, sort of both camps are correct. The problem is they're not joining their information together. It's kind of like religion, you know. Each religion has a couple of facts, right? Most of it's just complete BS, right? So what you find is that, first of all, the I have a Masonic Bible here, and it's very clear about the Masonic, George Washington is the most celebrated Freemason in America. His apron hangs proudly. You can read all about all of that stuff, the Founding Fathers, who they were. They were deists. And they did create the United States as...
Wait a minute, Clint. I've heard that argument before that they were deists, and I've seen a lot of writings, even by people like the aforementioned Washington, and where he stood on the religious front. And I wouldn't consider him to be a deist.
Yeah, we take... let me explain my disposition before we go any further.
Okay.
I don't look at the romantic version of things. I don't look at the personal writings of some of these guys. I don't look at a lot of that type of thing, because the only history that is true is the history that was written down as law, because that's the only thing that truly, truly affects us. Now, we could sit here until we're blue in the face. We could talk about the Founding Fathers, who they were, what they were. But the truth of the matter is we need to look at exactly what happened from that point and before it until basically around 1933, when all of this just got totally out of hand. So the only thing I can offer, and people don't like to hear this a lot, is I always side with, if you will, the government. Because a slave cannot know anything about his master unless he knows both the language and the intent of his master. And once you learn the intent and the purpose of your master's designs, then you can no longer be enslaved by it. So that's my whole theory. So as I was listening to your Bundy Ranch presentation, I was calling BS on just about everything he said. If you want to know the truth about the Bundy Ranch incident, the verifiable truth, then I can provide that for you and show that Bundy had no right to do what he did in any way, shape, or form.
Wow.
And people don't like to hear that because they're stuck in the romanticism, the patriotism, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They don't want to hear the truth.
Okay, but coming from which position? The government position? Or whose land is this anyway? Because the way I understand this, Clint, was that we had a bunch of land out there, and it was called territories. And
who had the land?
The federal government held it in trust.
There it is. Who purchased the land?
Okay, now hold on. And let me, Clint, you know me. I'll give you enough time to verify or hang yourself or do whatever. Quit laughing in there, Mike. At any rate, the land itself was to be held by the federal government in trust. That land was to be turned back over to the people when there was statehood.
That is not true.
That is not. Well, most of my readings and studies says that it is.
Well, then I invite you to read the state constitution for Nevada.
And which constitution was this?
What do you mean, which constitution?
Well, and I don't know the timeline, but every state had a constitution, and they were kind of rewritten, I think, what, 1849 or something?
Sure, and that's part of the history. That's part of the alteration. You have to understand that after the Civil War, or during or before the Civil War, Congress was basically, for all intents and purposes, the United States was dead at that point because there was an abandonment of Congress. What Lincoln did for the Civil War, a Civil War which, by the way, never ended, was never declared to have an end or a treaty of peace. You have to understand that we're still under that same executive order system that we were under that martial law system first declared by Lincoln. So okay. There was no war because the United States, the Union, which was the sole purpose, which was to save the quote-unquote corporation or union, the whole purpose was to enfranchise all the slaves into the United States. Thus, you have the 13th and 14th Amendment. Right. So you give slaves freedom. Freedom in legalese means franchise. Okay, so you leave that open for everybody else to join the United States as voluntary subjects or slaves, voluntary slavery. See, voluntary slavery is alive and well. The United States is essentially a feudal system by contract. And you asked about the Republic. Yeah, a republic is not a thing that you can really put a measurement on. You're either living in it or you're not. You're either following the law, the private law of the state, or you're a United States citizen, which means you're a foreigner in every state that you reside in. See, this is what we don't realize, is that a United States citizen in all cases is a foreigner in any state where we reside. The state is a third party, the United States is the principal, and we're acting in agency in a commercial vessel, and we do interstate commerce in wherever we are residing. It's not our domicile. Our domicile is the United States. This is how we were tricked out of the republics, which were the states, the lands of the states, the territory, as you say, and we were put into a nationality. There is a massive difference between having a nationality and being a part of a territory, or what the territory is created into, a state, and no longer called a territory.
Yeah, because if it was under the aegis or the guidance or the control of the United States government, then we wouldn't have state constitutions for each one of these states, would we?
Well, you would. The problem is nobody reads their state constitution, because I love it, because the state. Let me read you just so we're clear. Let me read you the state constitution of Nevada, just so we have an understanding of what the purpose of each state is. All right, purpose of government. This is section 2, right out of the, right. I just pulled this up on the website. Okay, purpose of government, section 2. Paramount allegiance to the United States. All political power is inherent in the people. Government is instituted for the protection, security, and benefit of the people, and they have the right either to reform the same whenever the public good may require it. Okay, and now that's the romantic part. Everybody stops there. They don't keep reading. But, it says, the paramount allegiance of every citizen is due to the federal government and the exercise of all its constitutional powers, as the same have been or may be defined by the Supreme Court of the United States, and no power exists in the people of this or any other state of the federal union to dissolve their connection therewith or perform any act tending to impair, subvert, resist the supreme authority of the government of the United States. The Constitution of the United States confers full power on the federal government to maintain and perpetuate its existence. And whenever and whensoever any portion of the states or people thereof attempt to secede from the federal union or forcibly resist the execution of its laws, the federal government may, by warrant of the Constitution, employ armed force in compelling obedience to its authority. Now, you take that, and most people hilariously would say, well, gee, that sounds unconstitutional, doesn't it? And yet that's right out of the state constitution. Now, by that statement, does it sound like states have have rights that are separate from the United States. If the state constitution recognizes the supreme authority of the United States in every way possible, do you think that there is some state sovereignty thing that they have limited sovereignty. They have sovereignty over their own subjects. But we're United States citizens, most of us. The private people of the state, they go by this, but we're not the people. See, that's the big fallacy, John. We're simply not the people of the states. We're the people of the United States. We're commoners, goyim. This is why all these states, this is why the Bundy Ranch, a corporation of the United States, on federal land, and he even said they made a national monument of it, which means necessarily that it was already federal land. And let me read you the next part, which, you know, we have to go even further. You have to go back to the Nevada Constitutional, the Enabling Acts, because who creates the state? Congress and the president create the state. People don't create it. They write up the Constitution and they agree to certain terms. The term, Section 4 of the Enabling Act, which is also in the Constitution of Nevada and every other, especially the Western states, authorization to form a constitution and state government. What are the limitations? The third limitation says that the people inhabiting said territory do agree and declare that they forever disclaim all right and title to the appropriated public lands lying within said territory, and that the same shall be and remain at the sole and entire disposition of the United States, and that the lands belonging to citizens of the United States, etc., etc., etc. So here again, this is also in the Nevada and other state constitutions. The people have forever disclaim all right and title to the unappropriated public lands. In other words, wherever those private people who initiated this constitution to turn a United States territory into a state,
okay,
still owned by the United States, it never wasn't territory of the United States, and okay, it still is, they just call it a state, that private land is under the private law of the state of Nevada or whatever state. But everybody else is on public lands. We're on a giant monopoly board controlled by the United States where everywhere we step is public land.
Having said what you said then, it should have been a slam dunk for the state's attorney general, the judge in this, particularly the Malheur case, dealing with these renegades. Because as you just explained, it's under the federal purview. It's constitutional even by state. Obviously, it's okay with the Fed. That you know, you were doing stuff on that land that we didn't give you permission. They could, and they've gone through two trials now. Are they? And Clint, let me finish this thought out because this is an important point. From your explanation of this, if this is true and factual, this should have been a slam dunk. Millions of dollars shouldn't have been spent. Juries shouldn't have had to have been excused. Evidence should have been placed in the court. Look, this is where everything lies, and this is the jurisdictions, and it's slam dunk, and you're guilty, you're going to jail. Why didn't that happen?
Well, for the simple reason that most people believe, including the guy you just heard on the interview, what did he say? He said, I am the people. He said, I am the people of Nevada. This is Nevada land. It's not U.S. land. The United States is not going to come out when everybody all their slaves, all their citizenships believe that we are the people, even though we're their slaves, even though we're enfranchised. Like a rat has freedom in a cage, we have freedom within the jurisdiction of the United States, the public lands. It's not going to come out and tell everybody that they're slaves. It's not going to come out and tell everybody. It's going to go through this whole process. It's going to be a romantic, patriotic. It's going to feed the alternative media. It's going to feed the mainstream media. It's going to make everybody argue. But no one's ever going to talk about the truth. No one's going to go to the Constitution and actually read it. No one's actually going to talk about the truth. Because here's the truth. Bundy said that he does not recognize police power over the land that belongs to the sovereign state of Nevada. Well, that's ridiculous. Bundy accumulated more than $1 million in unpaid grazing fees.
No, he didn't.
And court-ordered fines.
No, he didn't.
Well, that's what he's going to say.
No, that's what's been proven by their own documentation. He only owed $8,000. He didn't owe millions in grazing fees. See, that's another aspect of this case that he's charged with. Well, you know, he defaulted and he broke his terms of agreement. He didn't pay these outrageous. You know, have you ever seen that land out there, Clint? It's nothing but scrub brush. In order to feed cattle on that land, you got to have many, many miles because the greenery is very, very sparse.
Sure.
So,
and you're absolutely right that this is a land grab. Okay, there's no doubt about that. Another aspect of Nevada is that the people of Nevada voted to get the lands back. Right. So if you go to the state constitution for Nevada and you go to the ordinance section, which is the very first part, you're going to find two versions of the Constitution. One, which is exactly what I just read. Another, which is the amended version, which the people of Nevada actually voted for in 1993. They actually voted to return all state lands from the federal government. Keep in mind, federal lands in Nevada are like 83% of the whole state. Okay?
Finish out that thought.
So the people of Nevada, which we think we're the people, we're not, they all got together, they voted in a state election, which has nothing to do with the federal, right? And they voted to get all the state lands back. That went to where? It went to Congress. Well, Congress said, well, okay, we're just going to sit on this and not do anything. The Constitution has been sitting like this in a state of basically duality. The effective part says, yes, the disclaimer of public land still stands because, hey, Congress doesn't have to give up its right. Just because the people of the state, the commoners, the U.S. citizens of Nevada have voted to return state lands to the state does not mean that the United States Congress has to do it. That's a state election. It means absolutely nothing to the federal government. We don't vote. We just kind of, we give our opinion and they may... This proves it, that the vote doesn't count, because since 1993, the lands of Nevada have stayed in Congress. All right, it says, the amendment was passed, I gotta find it here.
I'll tell you what, you look for it, let me bring up a caller here. John in Michigan. Hello, John.
Hello, John. Your guest has some interesting... information that Ralph Winterowd has talked about before, too, is regards to the jurisdiction. And the Buck Act is what Ralph says gives them all of this so-called right over everything. And if you do research on the Buck Act, it pretty much exposes that. And also, Ralph always states that you should become a citizen of your state,
yes,
by going down and registering with the bureau, whichever one in your county handles that. And Ralph has a
Back up. Register how?
Well, Ralph has all that information.
I understand that, but by registering, you're registering for something. What is that something?
For your state. Citizenship, not your United States citizenship. You're registering in your state as a citizen of the state, and that takes you away from that grab that your guest has been talking about, that
so if people were to do this within their own states, declare that they're a citizen of their own state, they turn around and get a driver's license, one of the questions asked, are you a U.S. citizen? So you're right back in the same trick bag.
No driver's license needed for private citizens. Private citizens of any state under the Equal Footing Clause can drive or travel in any state without a license.
Well, I'm going to be arguing with every cop from Austin to Albuquerque.
Why was Bundy not able to do what he intended? He has, he has the right idea, the whole concept of the people, but he's not the people. That's the problem. He thinks he is. This is all of our problems. We have been, through the birth certificate process, we've been put into a nationality. Washington, D.C. is a foreign territory. It's a foreign country. It's like an offshore corporation. It's a holding corporation.
Basically, that's what it is.
Right. So we're not in any state. So every state we go to is interstate commerce. Therefore, we need license to do anything from that third party, which is the state. We're foreigners. And until you get this through your head, everybody listening, until you get it through your head that our inheritance has been taken from us. And I don't agree necessarily with the caller's notion of registering yourself, because from what I understand, the United States citizenship is something, it's an addition. So in other words, you're born naturally as a state citizen, and you get a disability or a dis-ease put onto you, which is this United States citizenship. And it's basically you're either able to self-govern under the private law of the state, or you need to be governed by this giant federal agency, and that's the way it works in every country.
Well, and John, hang on here a second, another point I want to make. What difference between the state government and the federal government is there if it's all commercial?
Well, that's just that seems to be the hard thing to figure out anymore, is because, you know, the Civil War was a war that basically went in and conquered all the states. You read the declarations by the president declaring the end of the military siege, and you find the same type of language that we just read, which is, you know, hey, Texas, for instance, you know, go read the proclamation that ended the war or the military occupation, and it says you're totally defeated. If you get out of line again, we're going to come in and kick your butt again, right? So, I mean, we're a totally defeated country, and the problem is our participation in the United States, the whole military. These people that are joining the military, they should be militia. The militia would be against that federal agency, not for it. You wouldn't see that. That's the difference between there's no, okay, I'm going to say this, you're not going to like it. There's no honor in being in a standing army. The main complaint of the king was that there was a standing army in the United States. We now have a different king. It's called the people, the corporation of the people, and has a standing army to protect the states and federal territories from us. It's the same thing. It's just the king has been turned into this magical god called the people. All right. And that's Congress.
John, anything else?
Well, I may have used the term, or maybe didn't get the complete thought out as what Ralph was talking about. But he said he did give out information and has information. Have you ever met Ralph Winterroud?
I'm sure Ralph has a lot of very good stuff. I have heard some of his stuff before. It's just that you have to realize that when, you know, you have a natural state or what the state considers natural, and then you have a disease or a disability put on you, which is citizenship to that foreign entity. That's what takes you out. And that's what makes you unable to inherit land. This is, you know, the Bundys don't own any land. You don't own your home. You don't own your car. You don't own anything, because a foreigner cannot own land in the territory that he's residing in. If you're from the United States, Washington, D.C., a foreign thing, you cannot be the holder and disposer of land. And therefore, it doesn't matter what you believe.
So what,
it doesn't matter what your patriotic opinion is.
Okay.
You're a United States citizen. You go by United States law, and you believe what the United States tells you to believe. That's it. That's how it works. I don't like it. I'm not saying it's right.
That's the story of the Buck Act. It starts out with saying how the federal government deceitfully gets jurisdiction over you and everything you own.
Absolutely. So the Buck Act,
and that's what
Ralph
talked about. Yep. And also, you have the Act of...
Wait a minute. I can't have two talking.
Sorry.
Finish your thought, John.
Yes, I will. You also have the Act of 1871, correct, when the Rothschilds came in and incorporated the country?
Well, it's a long and an arduous process of the incorporation, but the seat of government was actually transferred to Washington, D.C., I believe, in the village of 1801 or something. I mean, it was an early thing. It happened right away. So my opinion is that, yes, the founding fathers knew exactly what they were doing, and almost immediately the judicial branch was destroyed. The Judicial Act of 1790, I believe it was created. And right now, the whole judicial doesn't exist for us. We're all administrated by, we're under administrative law, international law, and the judicial doesn't exist for us. There is no judicial. Right. Everything's in the executive, so we're executively run.
Okay, so what is the federal government so afraid of? Is this why they're willing and able to destroy people, kill people outright, steal their stuff to hide this big secret?
Well, yeah, because what is peace, John? You know, when we say peace, you know how Orwell said war is peace and freedom is slavery? These are all true statements when you actually realize... Peace, what is peace but free-flowing commerce? What happens that causes a war? An interruption in commerce.
All right, hang on. I've got to take this break. I skipped the last two. We got to make up those ads.
Thank you, John.
You're welcome, John. Thank you very much for your call. Clint Richardson's with us on this Friday. And what state are we in? right now, apparently, the state of confusion.
Right, we're back. Clint, just during the break, I discovered the reason why Mikey was giggling back here. It's because he knows a guy in Austin that has registered, Mike, am I getting this right, registered with the state of his citizenry. Notice, okay, put his notice into the state.
Okay.
And they have gone after him. How, Mike? Open up your mic, Mike. It's real hard to do.
Yeah, I mean, he filed with the Secretary of State as a sovereign, you know? Like, straight up, he's got the license plates that are, you know, UCC and all that stuff. He can do that because he's actually put in the paperwork. He's not one of these U.S. citizens that's trying to go after the bonds and, you know, talk about the oaths of office. He said he just went to court, like, a week ago and was...
On what issue?
I know, just some kind of maybe a ticket or something, and okay. He just went straight at him with the y'all are satanic, here's the legal proof, and that they were just like, get out of here, you know, he does that.
Wow, okay.
Well, this this kind of behavior is, it's not that it's accepted in court, it's that usually they'll dismiss the case because, again, they don't want other people hearing this. I went to a traffic court, and they played a video, and they said, you hereby agree to give up all rights, constitutional rights and other rights by being in this court, because it's not a real court, it's an administrative court, a private court that the judge owns, right? It's a business, it's not a real court. So they're getting this. You're calling them a fraud because and it's working because they are a fraud. But the problem that this guy's going to have in every case is that they're okay. And this is hard for people because this is again a religious belief of the quote unquote patriot movement. It's one of those patriot mythologies.
Okay, now Clint, before you proceed, there would be one argument. I won't argue with what you're saying, it's just how you're saying it. And it sounds like a slap in the face to people that thought themselves to be patriotic and going in the right direction, and you sound like you're slamming them.
Well, I kind of am.
Well, yeah, you kind of are. That's why I'm kind of saying this.
It's no different than you slamming down religious people, because it's foolishness, because the Bible and religion have nothing to do with each other. The Constitution and the law of the United States have nothing to do with patriotism. Okay, what is patriotism? You break down that word, Pat Riot. What is a Pat Riot? A controlled opposition. That's what patriotism means. Pat Riot. A riot that does not do anything because it's staying pat. It's controlled. Controlled riot opposition. That's all it is. You believe that you're the people and therefore you refrain from doing anything. But you think that you're something you're not. That's what patriotism is. It's Stockholm Syndrome. I'm sorry. I said... I only want to know the truth. I don't want to know. I don't want you to have my opinion. I don't want to.
Well, I can understand and appreciate your point and all of your research and all of your readings and all of your writings. But if I want somebody to listen to me, the first thing I'm not going to do is walk up to them and punch them right in their nose and say, "Now, are you ready to listen to me?" I've been doing this for a long time, Clint. And I know what information is and to relate that information and have open discussion about it. But when you take a position like that and you just jam it right in somebody's face, I mean, if I first met you and I didn't say a word to you and I walked up to you and punched you in your nose, what would you do?
Well, how is that a punch in the nose to say what patriotism means?
Well, no, I understand your position. I understand what you're saying. There's falsehoods. But the people have been let in for a lot of bad news over the years.
Samuel Janssen said, "Patriotism is the last refuge of a scoundrel." So there, let Samuel Janssen say.
All right, hold on a second. We got to take top of the hour break. Clint Richardson has been nice enough to put out his private work here, the strawmanstory.info. This is the entire book for free. We'll talk more about that in the next hour. Everybody hang on. We'll take your phone calls as well at 313-943-9443. Back, second hour of the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stattmiller. It is the fifth day of January 2017. And talking with Clint Richardson. You know, Clint, I don't want to insult you. And I don't want to rub salt in wounds, but what I was saying
I've met a lot of people in these different movements attacking the various problems from different angles. And while it is true, and I've seen this and so have you, people will do their research, and then somebody will have a different idea about it, which negates, they feel, the other person's studies, and they'll end up scratching each other's eyes out. What has to happen here, and you ironically said it early on in the first hour, was that, you know, these people ought to get together. And I am in absolute, complete agreement, because the listeners of this program and to this network, if they've heard it once, Clint, they've heard it a million times. And they've heard my frustration. I have asked the same thing over and over and over again. Can't you guys get together and ferret this thing out without stomping off, getting mad, taking your bat and your ball or whatever and going home? We have a problem here. And people are still dying over it. People are still being run into bankruptcy over it. Some people claim that they have the cure and it's protecting themselves, but not necessarily anything else. And people do naturally what they do. Most people, Clint, operate in their own self-best interest.
I agree. And that is exactly what I'm attacking. I'm not attacking anybody or anything. I'm attacking the whole movement. What we call these movements, these patriot groups, these truth groups, the truth movement, that's what I am attacking. The fact that it is a movement that goes as a herd mentality in one direction, where everybody parrots each other. You know, I exposed the Federal Reserve, for instance, that everything people say about the Federal Reserve is absolutely 100% wrong. All you have to do is read the law or read the Federal Reserve Act, and you prove yourself incorrect with most of the stuff that came out by such people, self-interested people as G. Edward Griffin, okay? Whoever makes money off talking about the Federal Reserve or doing Ron Paul, for instance, very bad guy, but everybody believes he's a hero. So, you know, the truth is often quite different than what the truth movement arrives at. And that's what I'm attacking, is because while you or people, you know, in this whole entire thing we call the movement attacks the mainstream for lying, we never look at ourselves and say, well, gee, maybe we're wrong about something we've said, or maybe we are following something that's not true. And I tell you that being patriotic over what I just read in the Nevada State Constitution has to be about the most foolish thing I can imagine. When your own state constitution says that the federal government can maintain and perpetuate its existence and basically kill you, forcibly resist the execution of its laws, and by warrant of the Constitution employ armed force and compelling obedience to its authority, how are you patriotic? Where is the patriot? What stems? What is the foundation for that patriotism? Is my question.
Under the accepted teachings of people that claim to be patriotic, and now they're anti-government, now they're a terrorist, now they're this, now they're that. I watched Clint a couple of years ago what the FBI did with informing law enforcement in this country, and that's all that they are. They're no peace officers. This is more or less a standing army. And I've said to people, look, you know, we've got a problem here, and the problems are not getting solved, and we keep having these incidents. I mean, I don't think anybody can deny that this whole thing with the Bundys and everything else. I mean, this almost erupted into a shootout. It very easily could have. Now they're willing to put, and this, I mean, we've lost people. Case in point, Lavoie Finicum. This guy was going to the sheriffs in another county. He was going to talk with them. He wasn't a renegade. He wasn't running around wild-eyed, waving guns, repeating the anti-government rhetoric. He was a very religious man, and he just wanted things to be set right. This man lost his life. These people that went out to Malheur, they were under no illusions. If the crap was going to start, well, then it start there. Clint, I'm talking about people that are literally putting their lives on the line.
And I get that. And you're being romantic. I'm telling you that they resisted the supreme authority of the government of the United States. That's it. End of story. Okay, I'm not saying it's good or bad. See, this is the problem. You think that I'm trying to be personal or trying to put people. I'm saying the truth. The truth is that that's the truth. That's the only thing that the government's going to. That's all they need to say, because it's the truth. They tried to subvert the power of the federal government to maintain and perpetuate its existence in that particular part of the federal lands under the Buck Act, which created federal areas.
Oh, okay.
Okay, that's the truth. Right. I'm not your enemy for telling you the truth.
No, I never the only thing I have at issue is the way you say it.
What you don't understand, John, is what I'm telling people is to stop blaming everybody else. Start blaming yourself. This is a problem with all of us. We need to start becoming self-governing. If you want to take back your states, well, then you need to take back your right of inheritance. You need to stop being a victim of the United States and get out of the United States. The United States is a holding company for people who cannot govern themselves privately and act in the private condition of the people.
Well, and Clint, I'm not arguing with you. I'm just simply making the observation. You can call me a romantic if you want to. I don't think that I've been in a romance. It doesn't feel like it. I didn't even get a big wet kiss in these last 25 years. I've been doing what I necessarily believed and I had to do. And by doing so, I wouldn't have been behind a microphone for 25 years if I had pissed everybody off, because there'd nobody out there listening to me. I am simply trying to do one thing, and that's pass on, be the news aggregate of all the people like yourself. You're on this network right now. You had a show on this network. The only purpose that me and this network is here to serve is a conduit to the people to finally get down to this great nugget of truth. So,
and it's exactly what I'm looking for. People who are able to lose their ego, who are able to do exactly what I did, which was set out, find the truth, no matter how painful it is. Spiritual awakening is a very painful, painful process. Mm-hmm. It's not something that is pleasant. When you find out the truth of things, it's very seldom pleasant, the way of things. So if I'm offending somebody, that's fine. I'll put it to you this way. Would you agree with me, that the truth is never offensive? It can't be.
Well, sometimes it is.
Okay, so then you agree with me that if I live in a lie, then I would be offended by the truth.
No, what I'm saying is what you have uncovered. And if you're going to draw people together, I'm saying don't punch them in the nose first. That's all I'm saying.
I'm honestly, John, I'm not trying to draw people together. That's Alex Jones and the mainstream alternative media, whatever you call it now. That's not my goal. My goal is to find the very few who can self-govern themselves. And that's even what the Bible says. There will be very, very few. What does it say? The road is narrow. The door is small, right? The needle in the haystack, all those different metaphors for people who can actually govern themselves. I honestly don't care what people think of my reputation out there. My followers are people who just want to know the truth, no matter how it hurts. That's it. That's the only thing. And I don't care about anybody else at this point, because I've figured this stuff out. I understand. That was my whole goal. And now I'm not going to put up with a bunch of children who are going to blame everything else but themselves, because they don't want to learn the legal language. They don't want to learn the law. They don't want to read their constitutions. They don't want to read all the very things they complain about. They don't want to learn about them. I'm sorry. I'm not going to put up with that anymore.
Clint, I really don't think that anybody in any study group or anything else sets out with that attitude that, the hell with you because you're not saying what I believe.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying you either want to know the truth or you don't. If you don't, then continue as you're going, as you've been going for, how long these guys up in the North been doing this? Since the 60s, the 50s, this whole movement thing? There's hundreds of books written on the subject, but it's not about paperwork. It's not about registering yourself, because that was the whole problem in the first place, was registering yourself. That's what tax means. Tax means, as Caesar said, everybody must be taxed. That means everybody must be registered. We're registered agents of the United States. It's that simple. Get rid of your agency. Get rid of your registration. Don't be. So the truth is is that we are all in a contractual relationship with the United States due to the birth certificate, and we need to get out of it. We need to take responsibility for the territory, for the land again, and take it. But you're not going to do that through the voting process, because all of this belongs to Congress.
Right.
Congress is a specific bloodline of people. They call them the white people, according to law. White, you know, Barack Obama is actually considered a white person because of his bloodline, his relation to the Connecticut landholders. I can't remember their name. He's a direct descendant of the kings. That's who's ruling this country. That is who the people are. It's the same people that had it before. All those people are descendants of the kings of England. Right, so if you want to take back the country, then get rid of the nationality, the illusion that you're part of the country, the land, the terra, the territory, and go back to the territory. Start taking care of the land itself. Let the land own you, not the other way around. You see, that's what I'm telling you. The problem is not that there is this entity. The problem is that we're all participating in it and patriotic about our participation. We're patriotic about being slaves, voluntary slaves. That's a real problem.
Frank in North Carolina. Hello, Frank.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call, John. It's a very deep conversation you guys are having.
Actually, it's not that deep. Actually, it's pretty simple.
It is kind of simple when you think about it.
Yeah.
You just have to realize what the problem is.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of people, and I'm not the only one that says this, you know, I found out about this, you know, late. I mean, in my 40s. You know, when you enter into a contract and you find out later that someone was deceiving you, you know, I consider that contract null and void. Also, you know, I don't want to become an attorney. I don't want to study the GD law for 10 or 15 years so that I can understand all this stuff. And when it comes right down to it, like you say, and I'm not advocating anything, I'm not in a position to do that, and I wouldn't advocate anybody to do it. It's every individual's own personal decision where their line is, but you don't have any rights. You don't have any right unless you're willing to kill someone for the right to do that particular thing.
Well, let me ask you.
Or at least, what's up?
Let me just ask you a question. Do you think it's reasonable? Because you said I don't want to be an attorney either. That's a logical fallacy. But do you think it's logical that you're under a system of law, contractual relationship? Do you think it's logical that you're under such a system of law that is so large that it would probably fill an entire city block? And yet you say you don't want to know the language that makes up that law, nor do you know the law that you're under, because no one can really know the entirety of the legal code. Do you think that's logical?
It's not the way I want to live. Unfortunately, that's the cards we've been dealt. We're born into the system, and nobody gets out alive. I guess it ends when you take your final breath.
Well, that's an interesting opinion.
You don't have any right. You don't have any right unless you're willing to fight and die for it. And most people aren't.
I would agree with that. I would definitely agree with that, absolutely. And that is one of the things I preach. I preach constantly. If you're not willing to die for your fellow man, your family, whatever, then stay in the system. Stay in the matrix.
Because there's always going to be someone or some group that wants to say, hey, you know what? We don't like what you're doing. Stop. And if you don't stop, we're going to kill you. We're going to take everything from you, whatever.
That's why the Bundys failed, because they're trying to compete or go against the system instead of just simply saying I'm a peaceful sojourner or whatever, and trying to be without the system.
But let me, and I'm glad you mentioned it. Hang on a second, Frank. You know, going back to the Bundy case, you know, they screwed this thing up 16 different ways from Sunday, withholding evidence. You know, not allowing stuff that either would have exonerated or let the jury believe that the Bundys et al. Acted in a manner that they thought to be true and correct. You know, I mean, legal arguments are come down to a simple thing, right or wrong. But whose book are you being judged by? And Clint, they weren't even allowed to enter a lot of the information into their trial. This is why Judge Navarro just had to kick it out. The only question is now, I guess coming up Monday, they're going to decide whether this is they're going to dismiss with prejudice or without. If they do it without prejudice, there's going to be another trial. If they do it with, the whole thing's gone.
So again, you got to understand what's actually happening here. Is Bundy actually on trial, or is it the status that Bundy... that's the problem.
That is a good question.
It's the straw man. All the United States is doing is administering its own property, which is the status given to Bundy at birth. That's it. Bundy is using that status and saying that the United States doesn't exist. That doesn't make sense. I don't agree with the laws of the United States. Well, the United States owns Cliven Bundy. It's a registered name. Okay, it's a name, it's a surname attached to the Christian or first name. That's what they call it in law. Okay, that first name is property of you, or if you will, God. When you attach anything to it, it's called addiction, and it literally means you're devoted to that thing. Devoted means literally you have no vote anymore. So you gotta understand, you're accepting the United States as your God, your false God. Basically, your father, the founding fathers. The Bible says, call no man father. Remember, the Bible is the foundation of our common law. See, this is the point I think that never nobody talks about, because they don't want to talk about it, because it means you have to be self-responsible. The Bible, as it was in the English common law, is the foundation of everything. And what the Bible says is do nothing that we do in this system that is the United States. In other words, the legal system is completely opposed to the Bible, or what we call the law of nature. All right, it used to be illegal to even speak badly about the Roman gods or about Jesus Christ in Pennsylvania. They used to have a law that said if you spoke anything badly about the Bible, you were in trouble, because it's not because you were speaking bad about religion, but because you were speaking badly about the law, the common law. Right. You were literally destroying or trying to deface the very source of common law. Yeah. What have we lost? We have lost the Bible. We've lost the language that we use, a common vulgar or literal language. We've lost the ability to have poetry, metaphor, allegory. The Bible is our law. And as a citizen of the state of the United States, you have to know that, and you have to follow it, or you will be in this opposing or anti-law, which we call the legal system.
And I got a million questions as you talk, a million things crop up, but I've got callers waiting. And
One last question.
Yeah, Frank, I was just going to ask you anything else.
Thank you. Hey, and then one last quick thought. Just need about 30 seconds. Listen, did you say that we the people is the Congress? And then one last thought, and then I'll hang up and listen off air. You know, I don't think they want to have a battle of, you know, I don't think they want to come out and publicly, you know, come out one night on the news say, you know, the president come out or something, or the Congress come out and say, you have no rights. We just want you to know that. You've never had any rights, and you don't have any rights. They don't want that battle. They don't want that.
No, they don't.
So we go under an illusion.
Right.
So it's an illusion. Okay, thank you.
Absolutely. And what about we the people? Is that Congress, or is that us?
All you have to do is read the preamble. What does the preamble of the Constitution says? We the people, in order to form, et cetera, for ourselves and our posterity. Posterity means bloodline. That's as simple as that.
Right.
Okay, so it's them and their people. Those are the people, those original people and their inherited bloodline from England and wherever, France, et cetera. Okay, that's the people. That's not most of us. Most people don't have that ability to show their direct lineage. Okay, this is the old feudal system. It's never changed. It's just been recreated into a what I call a holding company called the United States. The holding company handles all of us, while they are private people. We the people.
Big brother in the holding company.
Exactly, it is. I'm telling you, that's what it is. But we have to realize that. We have to understand the foundation before we can attack it.
I understand.
Right? Because once the foundation falls, the delusion falls, then we can do something.
Okay, Clint, I can't turn this into a 3-hour, so I've got a break coming up here that I've got to take. We're going to skip the bottom of the hour break. I got Joel in Wisconsin, Mike in New York, Mark in Florida, Andy in Texas, Derek in Jacksonville, and God knows who else is out there that all want to talk to Mr. Richardson. All right. I'm
It's all right, man. We're just going to the end of the line here. Clint? Mr. Richardson.
Yes.
Yes.
Hey, let me ask you a question real quick.
Okay, ask the question.
If you were to start a corporation, which I assume you did, who would you leave it to? Who would you will it to? Who would you create it for?
I didn't create a corporation.
Okay, well, good for you. That's a big congratulations. But if you did, who would you leave it to?
I'd leave it to you because you're my favorite.
No, you'd leave it to your children. You'd leave it
I don't have any kids.
So if you created a country, who do you leave it to?
If I created a country, my prodigy, my offspring.
Yes. Any corporation, including a nation. Hmm. It's only logical, it's only reasonable that those who created this place would leave it to their children alone. You're not going to leave it to all men. All men are not the people.
What occurred to me during the last break and my thoughts were that you should be doing a program on this network rather than just talking to the people that adhered to what you've said. Because, my friend, if you've done all of this work and you've written all these books, you even offer them for free. And let me remind people here, And I'm going to read this, Clint, and you and I are going to have some discussions in the future. I can guarantee you that if you're willing. Strawmanstory.info. If you go there, the entire book is in a PDF format at no charge. If, after reading this book, you think that it is worth a donation to Mr. Richardson, he's asking $40. And I have a funny feeling the way you did this is after they get done reading your book, they're going to be more than happy to hand over $40 so you can endeavor and do more work.
I was fortunate enough to actually ask people for donations in the first place, and I raised $15,000 to print the book before it was ever created.
Well, that was a leap of faith for a lot of people then.
Yes, it was. And I appreciate those people more than you could possibly know. And you know, slowly, a few a week, they're getting out there. I have no idea how many people have downloaded it for free. And I don't expect anything. It does me no good to have this knowledge, as you say, without passing it on.
To a broader audience. And what I'm trying to do, Mr. Richardson, is I'm trying to do a little public relations here to take the edge off of your approach and some of your phraseology to the very same people. You know, you say you don't care, but I know you do. I care. I know they care. So we got a bunch of caring people, and I'm just trying to get on the same page so we can discover if we've actually drill down on the proper thing, because quite frankly, time's running out. I'm getting older. I'm not going to stick around forever. Neither are you. But the successive generations, no matter what they believe that they're under, are going to be here. This is what I always had a big problem with, I've insulated myself, and hooray for me. Yes, but what about the other victims that are going to be led to this slaughter? That was always been my focus, and it's always been a problem with me. All right, let's continue here. Joel in Wisconsin. You're up, Joel.
Yes, I have two quick questions. If the Bundy trial had continued, or if they're tried again, and the jury does find them not guilty, where does that fit in with the owner's plan? And where did the jury get the power?
Where does it fit into the owner's plan? The owner being?
We're the slaves, they're the owners. Why would they let a jury do such a thing?
Well, a lot of times they'll dismiss a case to avoid setting precedent, for instance. That happens quite a bit. Or they might want to set a precedent that'll help them in the future. See, the problem I find with the law is I'll read, for instance, something that was created in the health care bill. It'll have nothing to do with health care. It'll build an army, or it'll have something to do with a bridge in New York or something. But then, you see, any law that they make or any decision that the court makes can be changed tomorrow. All you have to do is change one word, and, you know, suddenly they changed one word in law, and suddenly everything the president does through his executive orders since 1933 are already pre-confirmed by Congress. This is why the president has dictatorial powers, essentially. They call them emergency powers or war powers, which is a whole other discussion. But all you have to do is create a law, and then later on, without anybody knowing it, in some omnibus bill that's 3,000 pages, you just change one little word in some obscure place that nobody realizes, and you've just changed the whole intent and meaning of the law. Likewise, in a case like this, you set a precedent, and then you set a precedent from that precedent, and you've gained exactly what you want.
Do they call these people in? Like Jeff Sessions, he was out there. He talked to the prosecutors on this Bundy deal. So obviously he is aware of it. I don't know if it's been communicated to Mr. Trump or not. But is there a prerequisite class that you is there a pretest test that you have to take in order to get into government? This is the way it is, and this is how you're going to rule, or this is how you're going to act?
Well, Hillary and Clinton and Donald Trump are related to the same great-great-great-grandparent. One guy did an article that said all 44 senators that he showed had a blood relation to Obama, and he was going to show the rest of the Senate were all blood cousins. So it's not a question of are you qualified or you love the people or no, you're part of the posterity. You're keeping this corporation going, and you're keeping basically this holding company we call the United States going and controlling and protecting everything from us. It's literally to protect and serve, to protect government and the states from and the people from us, the goyim. Yeah. That's what it means to be part of a nation. To be born in the nation means you're a goyim.
Joel, did that answer your question?
I'll go on my next one.
Okay.
This is my last one, I'll ask the question and take it off the air. If the Bill of Rights says the government cannot do something, and then it does it anyway, how does it get around specifically what the Bill of Rights says that it cannot do? And I'll take this one off the air.
Thank you. I appreciate your call, Joel.
I can answer that so simply, and it's something I did a show on here just recently. I did a three-part series on this whole history, actually. My last three shows that are on my whatever website. In the Bill of Rights, it said that that all men have unalienable rights. They call them God-given rights. Really, that means negative rights, which means you have the right not to have anything forced upon you. All right, so unalienable rights, this beautiful sentiment. The problem is Bill of Rights is absolutely... Oh, wait, I'm sorry. I'm talking about the Declaration of Independence. Declaration of Independence means nothing. It's not an establishment of everything.
Right.
In fact, Washington said it was just the thought of the time. Right?
It was a public utterance and a declaring of, this is how we feel.
It's a reason why you do something. Okay, that's great. Okay. The problem is in every state constitution, it says we have inalienable rights. Okay, so the Bill of Rights is for people who are protected by the Constitution. That's the people. We have no constitutional rights. I can read you several court cases that tell you public citizens of the United States do not have constitutional rights. You're under the people. You're not over it. You're not the creator of the Constitution, the people. You are the subjects to the United States, not its part of its quote-unquote sovereignty, right? So you're not the state. They are. So when you're talking about this, you have inalienable rights. What that means, and that goes back to the French Revolution and everything else, is that you have the right to sell your rights as property. And this is why we're able to contract. If the government recognized our rights as unalienable, as it said in the Declaration of Independence, well, then none of this could happen. They couldn't contract with it. They've already admitted that our rights are God-given, and no man can interfere with that, no system. But since they're inalienable, the court has ruled that inalienable and unalienable are two different things. And inalienable means you can sell your rights as a property and in exchange get political rights, which are made of men, from men.
But the property would kind of relay the feeling that, okay, you have something. You got to have something, ownership of something, in order to sell it.
Exactly. So what that means is, according to that French revolutionary nonsense that came out, all the anarchism and everything else, that means that you have the right to sell yourself into slavery. Right. That's what we've done. We're in wage slavery. We're voluntary subjects of the United States instead of state citizens, which are landholders. And the only sanctuary in the states, the only sanctuary a man has is upon his own land, as long as he's following the law, which again starts with the Bible and the common law and all that. But you don't have that as a United States citizen. Remember, you're a foreigner.
Mike in New York. Hello, Mike.
Hello, John.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good.
I did not catch your co-host name today.
That is Clint Richardson.
The co-host is John Stadmiller.
Yeah, he's it's his show. I'm just riding shotgun.
Okay, well, hello, Clint. How you doing, sir?
Greetings.
Okay. I have to agree with John, what he said earlier. I think it'd be, if you don't have your own podcast, you probably should.
Well, he's got one, and my point, and I think Clint picked up on this, is that you can have a podcast, but you've developed an audience, and that's great, but here's the problem. The problem is having a program on a network that has reach. People may not like what they're hearing. They may want to argue with him. But, you know, this is how things are tried and true, through dissension, through argument, whatever. You paint somebody far enough into a corner, they've got no place else to go. And I don't want to suggest that we beat people with the truth. But if Mr. Richardson has found that golden nugget, that's got to shine to as many people as humanly possible, whether they like it or not. And that's what he pointed out earlier. You may not like this, but this is the way it is.
I don't necessarily agree with everything he said, but I'm listening.
Okay, well, and Mike, based, and here again, this is another point that Clint made out. I guess I am being his PR guy now, is that you may not like what I have to say, and if you've done the studies, and you may not like, why don't you like what he said? Is it just because you don't like the way it makes you feel, or you don't like the way it sounds? Which is it?
Well, and to that point, I always tell people I only take primary source documents. I only read primary source documents. I don't read other people's books. I don't read.
You're not a cut and paste guy.
No. I read financial reports, patents, law. I study the language. I don't form opinions. I simply say what their opinions are, which is different, and most people don't like that because, again, I want things to be a certain way, just like you do, just like everybody else does.
Right.
But I'm also got to the point where I realized, hey, what I want has nothing to do with the way things are.
Gotcha.
And the only way that that's going to change is if I get out of this matrix, this system, and start making the change myself, start being self-governed.
Do you think that most people are tired of being Pied Pipered?
I think that a lot of people are moving away from traditional broadcasts like you've been able to maintain. A lot of people get stuck in the Alex Jones.
Well, wait a minute. Now, excuse me. There can't be an inclusion of both names in the same damn sentence.
No, most people who overcome Jones find RBN or find me or find other
thank
people.
Thank you for that distinction.
Right. But the problem is nothing is changing, and my conclusion is that nothing is changing because we keep repeating, rinse washing, and repeating the same thing that they did back in the 40s and 50s when this whole thing, you know, really started up in the northwest, northeast.
Okay, Joel, you had something else. I'm sorry, Mike in New York. My apologies,
John. I thought maybe I should clarify something here. Do you know how I discovered your network?
I have no idea.
I followed Michael Rivero over from GCN.
Well, okay, but wait a minute. Mike Rivero was with me, then he went to GCN, he went from GCN to RBN, he went from RBN back to...
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I don't know where in that cycle of rinse, wash, and repeat that you're referring to.
What I'm saying is, I guess Alex Jones was like a gateway drug for truth activism.
Well,
if it was not for Jones, I would not have discovered you.
Well, and you know what? You know what I've said about that? He's got a big mouth, and people with big mouths get a lot of attention. But if you note, no, I'm serious. You know, what hinge gets the oil? It's the one that squeaks. You don't oil the one that doesn't squeak. But my point is that Jones has become his own invention. That's Mr. Jones's problem. His problem is his ego. He cannot park that. His problem is that he is going to go to Jonestown, and whether he has to run over you or invite you along to put money into his coffers so he can be the great, great, the problem is Alex Jones, and he has become his own invention. And people...
And,
go ahead, Clint. I'm sorry.
Well, there's this notion of even, you know, it's all throughout the Bible as well. There's this notion of overcoming. You have to overcome everything. That includes just listening to one show or one network. It means that you have to start doing the research yourself. And once you start doing that, that's when you start putting aside.
That's been the whole damn point of this network. Think. Thank you for pointing that out. Exactly. That has been the whole point of this network. Is to be, and I've told people repeatedly, don't trust everything that I say. Do your own research. Verify it. That's how I came to be where I'm sitting right now, is I set out, I kept hearing this cockamamie stuff, and I'm going, you know, enough of this. You guys are giving me a headache. I've got an idea. I'm going to prove you wrong. And the more that I tried to prove what they were saying wrong, the more I proved them correct.
Or
what,
right.
What hasn't happened yet is that magic parting of the dark clouds and the ray of light hit us, and we actually start to deconstruct that which enslaves us. And I'm telling you, I'm running out of time and I'm running out of patience. I'm running out of youth. I'm burning it up.
You're running out of cells.
I'm running out of cells.
you got more patience than I could ever hope for.
Well, I don't really consider myself to be a patient man, Mike. I more or less look at that as being tolerance and understanding human condition and just being human and how you react to things. I've always...
Just kind of wisdom.
Yeah, well, it is what it is. I just hope people with a little bit of wisdom here and a little bit of wisdom there can get together and create a whole lot of wisdom and freedom and true liberty for everybody, because that's the whole point of this. Otherwise, we're just bumping our gums and entertaining ourselves.
I wanted to clarify something. I'd called in and talked about Chris Hinckley before.
Yes.
So I thought I'd make a little clarification here. I'm not saying this guy is boring. He's not boring. In fact, for the last 2 months he's been on, he's had the, what'd you call it, righteous indignation?
Mm-hmm.
He's been very entertaining. In fact, he ripped into the TSA about 2 weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
and I busted a gut so hard I thought I broke a rib.
There is a reason why everybody is on this network. There are some people that would like to be on this network, and they've found their own reasons not to be, and shame on them, because I'm not building a kingdom here. I'm just building a conduit.
Well, you have a good one going here, and I hope it keeps going for a long time to come.
Well, I hope it does. I hope it does as well, Mike, because I don't want to look at the last 25 years of my life as being a waste of time. Thank you for your call and your sentiment. All righty, sir. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thanks.
What's that? What?
Have you ever? So basically, you said I was not being nice enough, and I stopped being nice when I realized what the word nice actually meant.
Oh God! You and your dictionary.
I know. It means first definition: properly soft, wet, delicate, tender, dainty, sweet.
Really. Honest to God, I never looked at the definition of it.
Oh, I look up everything now, because almost every word we use, we think it means something opposite.
But see, when you were doing that before, when you were on the network, you weren't quite at the point you are right now.
No, I've jumped over the hoop. I started out wanting to know how things work, and until I found language and how it's used against us, there's no way. You can't read the Bible in English, you can't read the law in common speak, you have to know the legal. I mean, and you're expected to speak legalese at all times.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, at all times.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, especially in a court, because, you know, they can do you in because you don't even know the proper procedure or the proper words.
To be nice means to be weak, foolish, or effeminate.
Wow. Well, and I can't classify you as any of those.
Squeamish.
Squeamish?
Delicate.
Oh. I thought you were... never mind. Mark in Florida. Hello, Mark.
Thank you, John. And Clint, I look forward to Sundays at 5:00 Eastern time.
And why would you be looking forward to Sunday afternoon at 5:00?
Because Clint teaches.
I'm sorry, say again.
Clint teaches.
Clint teaches. Okay.
I'm horrible at self promotion, so
yeah, I'm as bad, but you're referring obviously to some obscure podcast somebody. Somewhere that you listen to.
Clint Richardson at 5:00.
Yeah.
I'm on UCY.TV is the actual place, and I do a 2-hour show every Sunday. Okay. Usually pre-recorded, and it is. I'm just teaching what I've learned, basically.
Okay. All right. And I appreciate Clint's efforts not to be smart, nice, or sophisticated.
Sophisticated means full of trickery, which is why they rate colleges by their sophistication. See, have fun with words.
You know what? I'm not going to leave this planet and leave on my headstone anything could be misconstrued. You know what I'm going to have on my tombstone? Is simply this, Clint. The worst thing in life is a bad cup of coffee. And let them try to make something of that.
Sure.
All right.
There you go.
Mark, anything else, sir?
Yeah, a couple things, Clint. With the word born, B-O-R-N or U-R-N-E, and the 14th Amendment, a person born. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, a person, of course, does not travel through the uterus to be born. A person is a corporate a legal entity that is created on a piece of paper, generally a birth certificate. So, you know, when you say born with an E, it means to carry. So when you bear arms, you're carrying your bloodline or your flag. We bear the arms of the United States, which, if you look up arms of the United States, it means the flag and seal of the United States. It has nothing to do with guns. And this is why the right to bear arms is protected, because it doesn't have anything to do with guns. It has to do with your family heraldry, which I prove with some exactness in my book.
Okay, and going back to the Bundy trials, and you spoke this earlier in this broadcast, that the accusers, the state, the actors, do not disclose their jurisdiction, I suppose, to confine a man or a woman.
Your position in all of this, Bundy's position, is as an agent who is using the property of his principal. His principal is United States. You could call it his employer. As an employee, he's using a commercial vessel to operate an interstate commerce, which is the only thing that the federal government can regulate. So you're under international law because you're a foreigner in the state where you reside. Residence is res means thing. It's a noun. It doesn't mean you actually exist there. You only exist in the United States, not in the state itself. And so what the government is regulating is the Bundy commercial vessel that he is using, which is bound by the federal law.
Okay, if that being so, and the court case, the claim against the Bundys, that the nature and cause is never fully disclosed, such as you just disclosed it, which is part of the deceit, how they control us.
Absolutely. And, you know, the mystery is, you know, that is the most important part of any ruler, any kingdom, is the mystery, the secrets. Without secrets, you cannot rule. Like I said, you cannot enslave people unless you have a language that enslaved people does not know. And that's why we are all struggling out here, because we're talking about something legal, which means completely fictional. We're trying to apply logic to something completely artificial and fictional, as if we're discussing whether Bugs Bunny's tail is fluffy or just hairy, or if he's actually eating a carrot. Right? It's a cartoon. You can't be logical or reasonable.
Right.
You have to think of these things in the nature of your ruler.
Mark, I thank you for your call. Let me go to and I've got Steve Elkins in the wing here, but let me go to Andy in Texas, and then I want to take Steve. Hello, Andy. Andy, are you there?
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, yes.
Okay, hey. No, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Richardson, but what you're telling us is what we're living in right now and how it's progressed, and this is what it is today. But if we go back to the Constitution, the government can't own anything. So how is the Bundys grazing on federal land if the government can't own anything? And well, they're not selling apricots. They're not selling apricots down the corner and making money to buy this property. They're getting the money from the people that they're taxing. So how do they own anything? The people own this, right?
So the people created government, i.e. the people elect, you know, their representatives, which was Congress. The legitimate or de jure notion of the United States is when Congress assembles as statesmen, right? So they're representing the republics as one, you know, e pluribus unum out of many one. What they did was they created the United States. They first created Washington, D.C., a foreign sort of entity. Then they transferred, they made a corporation, and they actually call it a corporation in their documents. And then they transferred the seat of government to the United States and made it a sovereign entity over United States territory, etc. So you have two different things here. You have the legitimate or de jure Congress, and then you have the illegitimate or de facto United States. And basically, if you haven't noticed, everything Congress does basically creates something into that holding corporation, and they say, we'll just hire people, millions of unelected officials to basically do our bidding and control. So you have the banking, you know, the Federal Reserve Board, you have the Social Security Board, you have this board, the Post Office Board, and these are all independent agencies of government. It's not that they're not part of government. The Federal Reserve is part of government. That's a big fallacy. It's that they're independent. If you just type in independent agencies of government, you'll see many, many, many agencies that are called quote unquote private. But private in the legal world is different.
So my first statement is actually true. You're telling us how things are, not how they were supposed to be.
Andy, I'm running out of time here, and you want to dialogue and argue, and I appreciate an understanding. I'm not saying that arguing is a bad thing. It leads to understanding if people want to actually hear what's being said. What I'm saying is we're running out of time here. Your response?
What Andy is asking is, do I believe the intention of the Founding Fathers, quote unquote, was good? And I do not believe it was good. I believe you have to start small and then build, you know, bring it, build it up. You have to, like I said, you create a law, then you start adding additions and amendments.
Yeah.
The word amendment, for instance, if you look up the word amendment, it means literally to change something that is bad into something better.
And that's what government always does. Let me go to Steve. Thank you, Andy. I appreciate your call. Steve Elkins. Hello, Steve.
Hey, Clint, understanding that the birth certificate is the entrance into commerce, how do we opt out of that whole thing? Because you're pressured when you're in the hospital for the birth certificate, the name and all the other stuff, to get that document and that number, that seal of approval, which brings you into commerce. How do you opt out of that?
Well, the most reasonable course is to say no. If they keep pressuring you, say, "Well, we haven't decided on the baby's name. We'll do it later, or don't sign anything and just let it go." But then they're going to keep pressuring you your whole life. The what's really interesting and what this is what we're working on now is that, you know, you can always create a death certificate for your baby. Your baby doesn't have to physically die, or you don't have to physically die to have a death certificate. There's several cases where people have been absent, literally absent, and been declared dead due to statutes of limitations, and their person, their status has been taken away. And suddenly they have no idea. They've been freed from this tyranny, and they beg the court to give back this person. But once a person is declared dead, the status is declared dead, it can never be reopened.
Now my head hurts because life is death.
Well, the definition of life in Webster's 1828 dictionary is, in fact, the execution of a contract. The life of a contract is its execution. Wow. What is a cause of death? Execution.
Wow. Steve, anything else, sir?
No, that's it. Hey, thanks, John.
All right, appreciate it. Steve is one of our hosts here on the network, and he is an RN, and an RN that works in the system, in the hospitals,
that doesn't necessarily go the administration's way. He's danced he's danced a very fine line versus helping people versus trying to earn a paycheck and then keep himself either A, out of jail, or B, employed. Not always easy.
And keeping yourself unvaccinated when they require you to vaccinate—that's they've fired whole floors of nurses in hospitals here for that. So.
Yeah. One more here, and Derek in Jacksonville. Thank you very much for holding. Go ahead, Derek. Derek, yeah.
Yes, sir. Hello.
Yes.
Greetings.
Hello.
Greetings.
Derek, you better start talking, or I'm going to hang up on you. Keep saying hello.
Hello, hello.
God. Go ahead.
Hello, hello.
Derek, quit funning around. Get to your point. Dump him.
Can you hear me?
Dump him. Dump him.
You need a gong.
Yeah, well, I just have. I have a guy here that's having a few issues here, and he's trying to deal with it and trying to do the show and all that other stuff. At any rate, we've got about 2.5 minutes left here. Geez, Clint, I'm going to have to read your straw man story. I'm going to read this with great interest, and I'm going to write down my questions and how you arrived at your conclusions. I mean, you very well may have uncovered the grand mystery, the secrets that have been kept from us. And if this is a way to be declaratory, to really have the magic bag that we can put over us that they cannot touch us, they can't pierce that veil, well, then I'm all for it.
Well, it's real simple when you think about it, because really the only thing that they can have control of is what they conquer. Conquer and purchase are actually the same word. So we sell our rights, we contract with them. And the only way the devil can ever affect you, devil just meaning a evil genius or something that's adversarial, the only way that the devil can ever affect you, if you haven't noticed in all these stories, is if you contract with the devil, right? Otherwise, he can do all he wants, but he can't ever actually do anything to you because you haven't signed your rights away. You haven't contracted, right? So it's really, if you think about it, all laws that they pass, every law that exists in the United States affects only their property. Property is never anything of reality or of nature. So you cannot be property unless you agree, of course, to accept their property, their citizenship, in other words, commercial vessel, and operate in commerce. What did I say earlier? What is peace? Free-flowing commerce. The second commerce is stopped up anywhere in the world, that's when we go to war. And that's why the Civil War happened, because all of a sudden commerce was not free.
Yeah. All right. Look, we're out of time. I appreciate it. You've been listening to the National Intel Report with Clint Richardson. I have been his co-host today.
And he's been not very nice.
And not very nice either. Told you, you know, I'm a prick on a mission. That's all I can
do. Love you, John. We'll always be friends, all right. No matter what happens between us.
Okay, thank you, sir. I appreciate it. And I am going to read the straw man story. Strawmanstory.info. Please consider giving a donation so this guy can keep digging.
Oh, just download it. I don't want your money.
All right, just download it. I don't want your money. All right. Thank you, Clint.
Take care.
Okay, you too. That'll do it.